Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah Sameach, whatever.
Merry Christmas.
Should I send your kids presents? Like, have your kids not gotten any presents yet?
So I went to like the store on Sunday and I bought my kids some like $2 garbage presents, like a little Hanukkah Rubik's Cube and like a straw with a dreidel on it, like that kind of stuff to sort of, you know, tide them over.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to my parents' house for Sunday night, for the first night, for lighting candles, which was actually really nice. I've never, like, even though my parents have lived here sort of semi for like a year and a half now, mm-hmm. we've never actually like gone over to their house as a family and done something. Like, I never felt like they lived here before Sunday night. It was nice. So we go over, we light the candles. And then I give both to my kids and to my nephews, like, the little junk gifts that I got them, just to tie them over so that they have a gift. And they were overjoyed. They're happy with their, you know, $2 gifts.
Yeah, kids will never really complain and say, like, this gift stinks. Little kids. Kids will always be appreciative of your garbage.
Oh, little kids, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, if the gift costs $1 or $100, they don't know the difference. And then my parents bring out these massive boxes with, like, $100 gifts for my kids. What the hell is going on?
They gift cucked
you. Presents.
Yeah.
Yeah, they totally did. So then I said, I'm like, wait a second. I only gave them these things because I thought they weren't getting any presents. So then I tried to take back the Rubik's Cube.
You tried to take them back?
Well, they didn't care because they, I mean, they got, like, my son got a Lego set. And
they got real presents that parents who love them would have gotten them.
Yeah, exactly. They got legitimate presents. And now I just noticed my assistant, my secretary, when I got to work today, she left a present for my kids at my desk today, which is nice. I've never, you know, you always give your assistant, like, a bonus for the holidays. Uh-huh. I've never gotten anything back. But
that is very nice. Did you give the bonus yet?
Yeah, I gave it.
Yeah, oh, because I was going to say, you might have to, if you.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a hint. Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to give like a bigger gift then.
Yeah. So she says something for the kids. So now I get credit. I'm going to give them a gift another day. So all of a sudden, I'm super Hanukkah.
Well, you're going to take credit for that gift and not say it's from, you know, Sally at work.
To my kids, my 7-year-old knows who my secretary is. What do they care? I will have them write a thank you note to my secretary.
So then you're going to have to say, like, it's not for me.
I'll say, here's your Hanukkah present. And then I'll say, write a thank you note. And at the top of it, write Joan.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, what have your kids gotten?
First of all, it's tricky because all my kids' birthdays are basically in this, like, month span.
Yeah, mine too.
All four
of my kids' birthdays are all December.
Yeah.
And Jen's birthday is the second night of Hanukkah.
Yeah, and my wife's is, I don't know her Hebrew birthday. That's probably bad. But they're all around here. My wife's next week, and two of my kids are this week. Everyone is in the same, like, month except me. So what's funny is my wife gave, my son got a gift, but he picked it out in a store, so he played with it for 2 weeks. And then my wife wrapped it up again tonight, my 2-year-old, and gave it to
him. You know what? I should have done that to my wife because I ordered my wife's present in early October because it said it could take 2 months to deliver and her birthday's in December.
Oh, yeah.
But it ended
I saw
up
the
coming
present,
early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ended up coming early. And I mentioned to her, I said, you know, I got your birthday present early. I think you're really going to like it. Do you want me to give it to you now or on your birthday? And she, like, begged for it now.
That's
so
a psychopath test, right? Like, I'll give you two presents, two presents later or your birthday present now.
So she begged to see it. So I gave it to her. She loved it. She was over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then her birthday was Saturday morning. And, like, you know, like I always do, I made her breakfast in bed on Saturday. But because it was Shabbat, I couldn't make her eggs. I couldn't make her, like, an hot coffee. So I gave her, like, cold coffee. And I made, like, guacamole. I gave her, like, cold things because, you know, we can't cook on Shabbat.
Yeah.
And she was, like, really pissed at me because I hadn't given her a present because I didn't have her, like, a hot breakfast for her. And I'm like, first of all, I gave you the, like, so I'm like, basically I'm getting punished for giving you the present early. She's like, well, you didn't plan. I'm like, I did plan. I planned too well. I ordered it too far
in advance.
Yeah,
no, it's a crazy mistake. I would never do that.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, I'm never giving you a birthday present early again because on your birthday, you got mad at me that I didn't have a
present.
Did
you have to go out and, like, get her a second present?
No. So I made her breakfast in bed again yesterday morning, which is Sunday morning. So we gave her her non-Shabbat birthday. And then her Hebrew birthday is the second night of Hanukkah, which is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow I'm going to give her breakfast in bed a third time in four
days.
That's
absurd.
So that I don't.
Does she love breakfast in bed that much?
It's the thought that counts. You know?
Like, does she actually eat it in bed?
Yeah, well, yeah, she eats it, and then the kids eat most of the bites.
They probably get it all over your bed if the kids are eating it.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Did she tell you I wished her a happy birthday?
Did she tell me that you wished her a happy birthday?
I WhatsApped her, happy birthday, Dr. Jen.
Oh,
she said, T-Y.
No, she didn't.
I bet she didn't know who it was.
She said, new phone, who dis?
So my kids got, like, same Legos and girls. My daughter got a doll thing and the older girl gets jewelry. Really, the mistake I made, if you listen to Robin Akiva, is not buying everybody a lot of Mets stuff. Because I really have an uphill battle.
Your son is such a troll.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. I'll tell you.
By the way, you called him a troll, and you've obviously done that before because he screamed objected that he's not a troll, which means he knows what a troll is.
He has no idea what it is. I've never called him a troll before. Yeah. He just knew. Wow. He could sense the context. Because for people who don't know what we're talking about, my son has decided that he's a Yankee fan because his two best friends are Yankee fans. My wife says it's my fault because I mean,
it is your fault.
I troll his best friends. One, they're twins. They're not identical, but I don't know their names. And I've seen them, like, you know, at least three times a week, every single, you know, they're 6 years old, every single week of their life. I don't know who's who. I just call them, like, let's say their name was, like, Bob and Dave. I call them Bob / Dave. Like, I still do not know their names after 6 years. I'm no closer to knowing their names. And, like, they'll come over and they'll be like, hey, look what I have. I have a Yankees blanket. And I'll, like, throw it off the porch or something. So, okay. Like,
So you've kind of earned.
Yeah, I'm in a fight with 6 year olds, and they'll like attack me, and then they'll, you know. So what my son does, there's a job in synagogues where people give out candy, and that guy is called the candy man. But in my synagogue,
I don't think you needed to give that whole explanation.
My synagogue is also there's a baseball card guy also who gives out. If you go to him, it gives you a sports card. Oh. Baseball, basketball, football. So he told me that my son has been asking him, like, hey, next week, can you bring Yankee cards for me?
Oh.
So he...
You're not... This is when you're an absentee father. This is what happens. Your kids go astray.
What do you mean? I was so good with him on the podcast. He was, you know, we were gelling. I don't know. I don't know how to get out of this. He likes the Jets because they like the Jets. So I'm safe on that. I mean, maybe it's bad. Maybe it's better if he likes the Yankees. Maybe he'll be a winner. Like, he won't have any. If you're a Mets fan, like, you know, Yankee fans can't know real suffering.
But you'd be fine with them being a fan of another team. It's not the Yankees.
Yeah, like, if they were all Minnesota Twins fans because they were twins, like, okay, who cares, you know? But
that was confusing to Robin, your story. I think.
Yes, that they are twins, but they like the Yankees, not the Twins.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if they like the Seattle Mariners, God bless them.
I mean. That's pretty bad also.
Yeah, longest playoffless streak in sports. Jets are coming, though. Jets are coming for that record.
They mentioned on the pod, the Jets did not make the playoffs the entirety of the 70s.
Yeah, the whole 70s.
The whole decade.
Because they may have played a playoff game like January 1st, 1970. Probably not, because I'm not sure. But yeah, they didn't
make
it. The
early playoff games were in December back then. Yeah.
Yeah, well, right. The Super Bowl was the 12th already, the 1969. Yeah, so they don't play No, so they did. Oh, maybe it was like December 30th, 1970, the Super Bowl 4 year. But yes, they don't make the playoffs the whole 70s. Then they make it a couple times in the 80s, and they didn't really make it this decade after the first year. They missed the whole decade minus year one.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's upsetting because when your team doesn't make the playoffs, you forget how cool it is to have good important football games, and like it ruins your life having a big football game. Like you can't breathe. I don't know about you. Like, I can't breathe during a big Jet game. Like, it's not enjoyable. It's torture.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially, like, for Viking, the way that Vikings games usually end is torture. Yeah. To this day, I do regret, you know, Jen at one point was secretly videotaping me through a window during the end of the Viking Saints game. Mm-hmm. And I saw her and yelled at her and made her stop. Yeah. I actually do wish that she had continued. Like, I would like, now that I know how it ended, I would like to sort of see that and, you know, relive.
Well, she was famously out of the house when they scored the touchdown.
Yes, for the last minute, because I got mad at her for videotaping, and so she left,
Mm-hmm. She has not returned.
Haven't seen her in a while, that's true. All right, so let's jump into Week 17. We have fewer games that mean anything than, you know, we would have hoped. Of course, because the NFL sucks in the way they do things, and they lock these teams into seeds, and so, like, you know, the Bills, for example, are locked into the 5 seed, whereas, you know, they could be playing to get a home game over Houston.
The nice thing about Week 17 for me is Week 16 is not enjoyable because it's just about fantasy championships if you are privileged enough to be in some fantasy finals. So that's really, like, normally I'm very good at separating fantasy from regular football, but not on Championship Sunday. I was really sweating all of my fantasy finals.
Yeah. My brother, by the way, he won one of the leagues that you guys are in together.
Yes.
And his wife, who's Brazilian, it's very cute. She's trying to like celebrate his victory, which I don't understand. My wife openly roots against me, so I don't know what it's like to have a wife.
And my wife doesn't know like nothing's my fantasy league. Like she has no idea. I mean, I'll say like,
oh, no, but
if I win like $1,000, I'll say like, hey, let's go out for a nice dinner or something. But you know, other than that,
and I just realized. I hope, no, this won't come up before he gets home. So she's like doing all these surprises for him when he gets home from work today, and she made like these like pictures for him, and she was asking me for like NFL related puns and jokes to put in, inside jokes to put in her like drawings that she made for him. So it's cute. She's very excited for him.
That's wild.
Yeah, she drew a very accurate looking picture of Freddie Mercury holding up. Although it looked a little bit like Stalin.
What does Freddie Mercury have to do with our fantasy league?
And we are the champions.
Oh, because Sammy is like the Stalin of that league. I
see. Oh, so the Stalin Mercury thing is intentional.
It's possible. I don't know if Tete knows that. So she's really into. Who knew?
Yeah, she likes winners.
Yeah,
she's very competitive. Sammy told me.
Really. Why'd she marry?
I knew that was coming. All right. Okay. So let's jump into this. So first of all, we're recording this before the Packers Vikings Monday night game, which has a lot of impact because both of those teams could be anywhere seeded from as high as 2 to as low as 6.
Yeah, it's all about seeding. It's funny because we had this argument earlier in the year where I said nobody cares about seeding, but that's the only thing you can care about other than the Titans game. It's just all seeding this year.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's not true because there's the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles
Cowboys.
And the Cowboys, but that's barely the playoffs. Yeah. That's like when you get excited about like who's going to earn the invite to the NIT.
Yeah, but honestly, like I think that team is probably going to win. They're going to be home. Yeah. They're going to be playing a much better team.
Win one game, they'll lose 40-10 the next week, though.
Okay, yeah, but they're going to knock out a Super Bowl contender. Like, there's 5 teams in the NFC. I mean, Seattle's—I don't know if you can really call Seattle a Super Bowl contender. They're at like a plus 12 point differential in the season. They run 30 times a game.
They look so bad. I mean, it's like the second,
their first, second, and third running backs are all out for the season now.
Yeah,
Marshawn Lynch is going to.
Yeah, Lynch and Turbin are coming back. They're bringing the cavalry.
Everybody's been criticizing them that they never had a game decided by more than one score, so they went out and had a game decided by more than one score.
The second, it was nice when the Jets had this when Duck Hodges was in, because there's a certain type of quarterback. It's like, oh, they cannot move the ball except by accident, and that's really what it should be with Brett Hundley. But somehow the Seahawks could not shut down Brett Hundley, which is more telling to your defense than not doing anything against Kyler Murray, which is at least semi reasonable.
Yeah, and the Packers on the down low, by the way, have been similar to Seattle. They have not been so good this year either.
Yeah, the Packers really haven't had a moment in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that line moved all the way up to 5.5 for tonight's game, by the way, which I'm a little bit nervous about.
That's like who's trying harder at this point, because the Vikings aren't 5.5 points better or 2.5 points better even.
Well, I mean, by statistically they are. I mean, the Vikings have the second best point differential behind San Francisco, and the Packers are like plus 20. The Packers are barely above 500, above even also.
Did you see the... The Vikings only do 2 receiver sets.
Yeah, because they don't have a third
receiver.
That's
so fascinating. Tell people about this if you know more about it.
Well, it's a function of a couple things. First of all, starting when Stepanski came in towards the end of last season, they wanted to be more focused on the run. But it's also a function of their personnel. They don't have a third receiver. Like they only have 2 good receivers in Diggs and Thielen, and Thielen has missed half the season. So for the last several weeks, they were forced to play either BC Johnson or Laquon Treadwell. Like, if they had a good third receiver, they might be playing more 3 receiver sets. Because most teams in 2019 play 3 receivers, play 50% of the time.
I think the second lowest is 47, and you guys are in the teens.
Yeah. The Vikings never do. They play 2 tight ends.
Right, so they essentially use Irv Smith as like the third wide receiver, basically, with Rudolph.
Yeah. But again, it's part of it is strategic, but I think part of it is personnel. Once Thielen's back, they'll have 2 legit wide receivers, and then if they want to trot out BC or something like that, maybe they'll do it a little bit more frequently. And also, to be frank, they haven't been losing a lot, and so you don't need to pass so much. But they were losing a lot in Denver and they came back, and they were losing a lot in the Packers and they came back. So I guess they did have a couple games they were losing and they came back.
It's
so
really crazy, but, also, that first of all, the Laquon Treadwell thing, it's like 5 years later that pick is still killing you because you don't have a third receiver. He's still on the team somehow, even though he's so useless to the point where they're like reinventing the rules of football.
Well, they re-signed him because of the fact that they had no one
else. I know, but like, and BB's out for the year.
And also, they had a bunch of guys who got injured. Yeah, BB got hurt, is out for the year. And they, what's his name? The guy who was on the Titans for a couple of years who led them in receptions. They signed him in the preseason, but then he got injured. Who am I thinking of? Doesn't matter. He's not relevant.
That AJ Brown is unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, he's going to end as like a top like 12 like fantasy wide receiver. And he was like, picked up and dropped seven times
as a rookie,
in September and October.
As a rookie. Like next year he's going to be a superstar. Or someone's going to bid $42 for him and he's going to be useless.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, Tannehill staying there? You know, is that whole Tennessee thing, you know, regressing back to earth? We'll have to wait and see.
Let's do quick picks. I guess we have to pick every game.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So let's get the ones that don't matter out of the way first, all right? Mm-hmm. So, by the way, the guest the lines, I had a couple listeners. I didn't send out a form, so a couple listeners like emailed me or DM'd me. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Elon Allen sent it in the form of the Google form that I've been making. So instead of saying, like, you know, Packers the lines, instead of saying the Packers are favored by 6.5, he said away team 6.5.
Oh, nice.
So I like that he Elon stayed committed to that cause. But, all right, so let's do the irrelevant games first. Jets at Buffalo. I actually thought the Jets would be favored in this game. Because the Jets have done a good job of beating like bad teams.
Yeah, and the Bills not trying should be a bad team.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought – I actually had Jets favored by 2.5. I was wrong. Buffalo is still favored, so, but only by 1 point.
It's a little weird. But like you said, the Jets have been somewhat competent. You know, they just beat the Steelers. Although the Steelers
They're 500 with Darnold this year, right? They went 0-3 in the fall games and 6-6 with Darnold.
Yeah, they are 500 with Sammy D.
Yeah. So if Sammy D doesn't get injured, you could be playing for a playoff game this week.
No, because they probably still lose some of those games anyway.
Yeah,
they don't beat the Eagles. Yeah. They lost a zillion to three in the Jaguars. Yeah. I mean, no. If they had beaten two, they lost to the Dolphins, the Bengals, and the Jaguars. If they'd won two of those three games, they'd be playing against a limpless, you know, Bills not even trying team to make the playoffs this week, and that would be nice.
Yeah, or if they had won week one against the Bills
and another game.
Yeah.
What's crazy is the Jets, like, this was the Jets' year just to make the playoffs. And they could have regressed next year, but...
Because the AFC sucks, yeah.
Not just the AFC sucks. The Jets have, by far, the easiest schedule in football. Their furthest west game, I think, was in Miami. Like, they literally did not go west all year. Next year, they go to L.A. twice, Seattle, Kansas City, and Indianapolis. They have, like, five legit trips. This year, they didn't go further than Philly. It was insane.
Yeah.
So...
Sorry about that. And you're going to get you'll get a third place schedule next year, so it's not too bad.
No, their schedule is really hard.
Oh, okay. But let's just recap last week quickly. So I made made $600 million bets. I won four, lost two. So I'm now up $967 million in the year, almost a billion. You only made two bets. You won them each, so you're up to $1.9 billion. So we're both rolling in the fake dough. I think I'm first place in our pool of pools, pick four pool. So we've both been doing pretty good. And winners and losers, you beat me last week. We both have the Vikings tonight, but you are 12-3, just picking up straight winners and losers. I went 11-4. So on the season, I'm up on you a couple games by weeks. We've each won 6 weeks, and we've tied 4 weeks heading into week 17. So week 17, which is one of the randomest weeks, could be for a lot of tiebreakers.
All right, that's exciting.
All right, so Jets at Buffalo. I'm going to pick the Jets to win, obviously, since I thought the Jets would actually be favored in this game.
Yeah, I think the Jets will win. I mean, is it possible the Bills could try, but I don't think so.
I mean, when we say try, not try, like the players are obviously going to try.
The
right?
players who are playing
and,
will try. Yeah.
And you only have 53 players on your roster, so most of the players who are playing are players who are either starters or rotation players. They're only resting like a couple of
guys.
Yeah,
and you don't rest your linemen unless they're really dire, you know, they're like in dire
that's
health.
That's what I'm saying. So who are they actually resting? Like Josh Allen
that's a big
might
deal.
Not play a full game?
That's a big deal. The backups for a lot of teams are useless.
Yeah.
And then anybody, you know, probably your best receiver if he's got a nick or, you know, a scrape or something.
Yeah. Cleveland at Cincinnati. So I had a nice little joke here that now that Cincinnati clinched the one seed, all their backups can rest and they can play their starters in week 17.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Andy Dalton, I definitely think that Cincinnati wins this game. Cleveland's falling apart. And I don't understand why Cleveland's favored.
We should do a draft of where Dalton ends up next year.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in the offseason. But who are you picking in this game?
Us Cleveland.
Okay. All right. Atlanta at Tampa is the only other early game that has zero meaning. Two teams that until Jameis threw four interceptions last week have looked much better in the second half of the season.
You know, fantasy is not super relevant in week 17, but this could be a 42-37 game or something.
Yeah, I thought Tampa was going to finish on a 6-game winning streak and go 9-7. I thought they were going to beat Houston.
Instead, Tampa did that. Really,
no, I thought Tampa.
Oh, I
was
thought you said
that.
Atlanta. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Maybe I did. But then they lost to Houston last week, and
these would be two contenders for the NIT. Both these teams would have a chance in the football NIT.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Tampa. I guess as the home team. I don't have a strong opinion.
Yeah. Jameis is going to go nuts. I think they throw 70 times. I think they try and get Jameis like What if Jameis, like, if you're Bruce Arians and you're trying to have fun this week, try and get, like, start every possession by taking 10 intentional false starts so Jameis could beat Norm Van Brocklin and throw for 555 yards.
Yeah.
Because if he does that, he also, I think, sets the, like, if he hit 555, I think you're talking about maybe beating Breeze also.
Okay, so he needs two interceptions.
Yeah.
To hit
obviously,
the, to,
that's
to
why
hit
you want to throw 70 times. He'll get that by 130, no, famously.
Yeah, he needs two interceptions, hit the 30-30,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
He will do that.
We'll be
for
telling
sure,
our grandkids about the 30-30 club if he gets there.
Yeah, and then he's going to get the 5,000 yards for sure.
Yeah, that he's 50 away, I think.
Yeah, he's in the 4,900s. He's more than 50, but yeah. Now, the all-time record, as you said, for a single season is, what's the exact number for Breeze? It's 5,000.
It's in the fours.
400. Oh, no, it's Peyton Manning, excuse me. 5,000, because Peyton Manning threw one more yard than Breeze. Yeah, yeah. 5,477.
So it's a little more than 500 yards. He has to do the Van Brocklin.
No, he would need 477 plus. He's at 4908 right now, so he needed almost 500. And, he needed 569.
That's exactly like the Van Brocklin. Van Brocklin's 554. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, so
that would be incredible. It would be one of the like the greatest thing I've ever seen in football. Someone has to send this to like John. Does he have any Bucks connections? Tell them that Jameis has to throw for 570 this
week. All right, so are you picking Tampa to win
then? Yeah, and we're rooting for Jameis to throw for 600 yards, yeah.
Yeah, okay, 600 yards, yeah, that'd be great.
It is funny that every passing record has been...
By the way, there's no way that'll help you in fantasy, because if you have Jameis, you lost in week 16 when he had one touchdown and four picks.
True, although I did bench him because I had Tannehill, but it didn't matter, Kyler didn't. So listen, I don't know why I said so listen, and then I forgot what I was going to say. I'm getting old.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to the late meaningless games.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. So it's crazy. Every single record, other than, speaking of the Van Brocklin 554 passing yards in a game, every passing record has gone down, but that has not really been under assault at all. Like, there haven't even been a lot of 500-yard passing games, even though...
But also the touchdowns. We haven't seen 8 touchdown passes in a game.
We've never seen 8 touchdown passes, but
we've seen 7.
But
tied.
There's less running up the score now, I think, than there was probably 30 years ago. Outside maybe.
I don't
New
know.
England.
I mean, yeah. Is that I don't know what the explanation.
There's not a lot of I just think it's. I think there's like people don't want to get the players to get hurt, and they think running.
Well, the NFL also changed the rules a few years ago where point differential never matters in terms of tiebreakers. Right, so we'll never have like that crazy game with Brett Favre. Remember in the 90s?
Yeah, but point differential that was one game out of 256 if you were lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but that, by the way, that always sort of annoyed me because during the season, the other team goes for it and turns it over on downs inside like their own 15-yard line with like a minute to go.
Yeah,
and then your team who's already won the game, you just come out and kneel, and I never said why. Like, kick the field goal because point differential could potentially matter at the end of the season.
It mattered so little; it wasn't worth a brawl.
But I mean, it obviously does matter because once in a while we'd see those crazy Week 17 scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, this is a good segue. So let's get to the late games that don't matter. So Indy at Jacksonville doesn't matter for either one of these teams, but because of strength of victory, the Raiders need Indy to win, which is why this game was flexed to 4:00 to be at the same time as the Tennessee-Houston game and the Oakland-Denver game and the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game.
Yeah, which sucks for the Colts. Because we literally don't care. Why are you making us have it 3 more hours in our season?
Yeah, but I think Indy's going to win this game, right? They're going to play for pride and play for the Raiders.
I think so. I will say, there's no precedent that I remember in following very closely, like Week 16, Week 17 in the NFL season, what happened to the Titans where a team loses in Week 16 and somehow improves their standing.
Oh. They didn't improve. It just had no impact.
No, they improved their standing. They're in a better spot after Week 16 than they were before Week 16. They needed help, and now they don't need help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they lost.
That was not because of their game. That's because of other teams' games.
But it's just crazy that they are in a better spot despite losing. I've never seen that before in 30 years.
I mean, that happens all the time. Teams clinch despite a loss. The Vikings, if they lose today, will be in a better spot this week than they were last week. Right? If the Vikings lose tonight, they're still in a better spot than they were before their game. Because before their game, the Rams could have made the playoffs. But the Rams lost, and so the Vikings clinched.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time.
I guess. I'm just thinking of it in the sense where they haven't clinched yet.
They're in a better...
No, I do think what I'm saying is sort of true. Where I don't remember the last time a team lost and went from, 7 to the 6 to 6 to the 7. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Anyways, it's because all the other teams lost. But yeah. All right. So, and then the other meaningless game...
The Steelers would have ruined the playoffs. That's how bad they are.
Yes. And I'm glad. Look, I said the Jets were going to beat them, and you know, one of the few things.
Mason Rudolph, the truth is, looked like Joe Montana compared to Duck Hodges. So.
To Bob Duck.
Too bad he got hurt.
I don't
hurt.
Understand why they ever switched off. Not that Rudolph is great, but he was always better.
It's
than
like
Duck.
It's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's like, oh, yeah. He's playing poorly, so let's bring in the other guy. But the other guy sucks. Same thing with Kyle Allen versus Will Greer. Like, I'm sure Kyle Allen had really been struggling for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, but the difference is there. They actually want to see what Will Greer has because he was a higher draft pick than Kyle Allen, and they're out of the playoffs. Whereas Pittsburgh is actually playing for their lives.
I mean, Greer sucked, but like. He had a decent arm. Like, he did a couple of things. It was. Yeah. I played the Colts defense in my one league that has defense special teams. 30 points because 2 punt returns for touchdowns. I mean, there are seasons that there's only 2 or 3 punt returns for touchdowns.
Yeah. Now, if you were to play Nyheim Hines, do you get those touchdowns?
It depends
double
on the league. I don't know. Yeah. It depends on the league.
Yep. All right. So the other meaningless game, late game, is the Cardinals at the Rams, aforementioned Rams. Just great to see them go all in, make all these trades. They have no draft picks until, like, you know, my kid's bar mitzvah, and they're not making the playoffs.
And I think there's their left tackle's 38. Gurley, if he's not washed yet, you know, could be washed at some point soon.
By the way, people complain about Gurley. I think he has like 14 touchdowns on the season or something.
Yeah, no, Gurley very quietly has been useful, but
yeah, he's fine.
If the Rams could rip up that contract,
he's no David Johnson or, you know, a lot of Saquon who completely screwed you until having a 40 point week 16 when you're out of the playoffs.
I hated when people were like, "Well, Saquon Barkley is like every team with Saquon." Saquon Barkley was the lowest on the lowest percentage of teams other than like teams that were starting AJ Green, who just weren't updated.
Other than Lamar Jackson and McCaffrey, who's the player who's the highest ownership of champions? Probably it's Kenyon Drake.
No, I saw this answer. It's Michael Thomas and
Mike Thomas.
Michael Thomas is one, and I guess Lamar was high, but I'm not sure if he was one or two.
Because in a one quarterback league, I guess
it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
But Kenyon, it's got to be Kenyon Drake because Kenyon Drake is like.
But it's really also like a league where people pay attention. I don't know. I'll give you a big one. I mean, he didn't help.
Superfan Robbie, by the way, won the AAYFFL for the first time.
Mazel tov, Superfan Robbie.
And he had a terrible team. He had the 9th best team in the regular season, but he got hot. He scored 150 points a game in the playoffs. Drake and all his guys just went on fire. So
I think I don't know. It would be someone who's like someone who pays attention and picks guys up, like Drake, Darren Waller, somebody who was like. Not drafted, but had a useful.
No, Waller was definitely drafted.
Yeah, I guess Waller.
Waller was never a free agent. Yeah, and Drake, by the way, Robbie, Drake was owned in our league also, because remember, he was the starter in Miami.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so Robbie acquired him in like in September 27th or 23rd. I actually looked this up because I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sat on his bench until he decided to go bonkers. All right, so Arizona at the Rams, the Cardinals visiting not their former home anymore, but two teams that used to play in St. Louis, no longer play in St. Louis. Who do you have winning this game?
If it's going to be Hundley, I'll say the Rams.
All right. Is Kyler not playing? I didn't realize that.
I don't think he's going to play. Yeah, I think he's going to sit.
No, that's too bad because he had a very good rookie season.
Yeah, he was great. Very quietly, unbelievable. But
Especially
when you think like Mayfield took a step back, Darnold took only a very slight step forward.
He was better as a rookie than almost any rookie we've ever seen. I mean, Dak was better, but other than that, name a rookie who had a better rookie season.
No, certainly, Luck maybe, but I guess he was better than Luck ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, Luck won 11 games, but you know that was a that was very lucky. Pun intended. Not really intended.
In the 2000s, Kyler could put himself up with basically anybody.
All right, so let's jump to the games that mean something. Green Bay at Detroit. So, again, the Packers, now we don't know if the Packers beat the Vikings today, then they're playing for, like, to get a bye, basically. Mm-hmm. If they lose to the Vikings, then they can still win the division. Then they need to win the division. So the Packers have to win this game either way.
Okay.
And the Lions, you know, the Lions have lost, what, 7 in a row now? But the Lions' scores have been pretty close. They've been keeping it relatively close in a lot of their games.
But they're not going to win this game. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, they're not going to win, but it's a 9.5-point spread. I think that's too much. The Packers haven't blown anybody out for the most part, and they have a couple. And the Lions, you know, the Lions probably want some revenge for the way that bullshit game ended in Lambeau earlier in the year. So I'm going to take the Lions to cover, but yeah, you can't take the Lions to win this game. Although, as a Vikings fan, obviously, I have wishful thinking. The Vikings-Bears game. So if the Vikings lose tonight to the Packers, this game is meaningless. The Vikings, I think, are locked into the 6. If the Vikings win, though, then it's very important, not only because if the Packers were to lose, the Vikings would get the 2 or the 3 seed, but the Vikings beating the Bears, they lock into the 5, which means that they get to play the Eagles, Cowboys, and they get to avoid the 6 seed, which means you have to go at, you know, Green Bay or Seattle or whatever. So the Vikings have a lot to play for. Last year they had everything to play for in Week 17 against the Bears. The Bears, not only were they not trying, the Bears were actually incentivized to lose the game for their playoff situation, and the Vikings still found a way to lose. So very pessimistic about this. No matter how bad the Bears look against everyone else, including last night, I'm still terrified of that defense when they go up against Kirk Cousins. So I'm going to pick the Vikings to win, but I'm going to pick the Bears to cover.
I got the Vikings all the way, win and cover. Did you over our $1 million bets from last week?
Yeah.
Okay, up,
yeah, we each won $200 million.
Oh, let's also do, when we finish these picks, let's do the college football semis.
Okay.
With the
all
Lions.
Right. All right, okay. New Orleans at Carolina. So this is a game, again, that means something for the seeding. The Saints want to lock up the one seed. They could drop to the two or even, I think, possibly the three, depending on what happens. Carolina went into New Orleans and very nearly beat them just a couple of weeks ago. Now it's at home. Who are they starting at quarterback? Do we know for sure?
Carolina? I assume Greer.
Yeah. They're giving him another chance.
I mean, I don't even think there's any like reporters to ask their, you know, their ridiculous, you know, who's their Perry Fuel? Like, who's
it's interesting because a lot of times a coach gets fired and the team bounces back and overperforms a little bit, which makes sense because a coach is fired because a team is not doing well, which means just by regression to the mean they'll do better. But this team is totally. I mean, them and the Lions are on the longest losing streaks in the league.
Yeah, but there's just not a lot there right now. McCaffrey is like truly the whole team.
Yeah, but McCaffrey's having a historic season. I mean,
McCaffrey should be the MVP
of the year.
He should be the MVP.
Well, he should be offensive
player.
That
would be 0-16 with like
actually,
Le'Veon
I don't
Bell.
Know. Between him and Lamar, it's going to be a close race. But he's at 3,100 yards from scrimmage or something like that. Mm-hmm. Even in a game last week where he gets nothing running, he gets 15 catches for 119 yards or something ridiculous. So, yeah, he's a complete machine. I'm going to pick Carolina to cover. This line is way too big. It's 12.5.
12.5 is too much for almost any Week 17 game. So I'll have them covering also.
Yeah. All right. If nothing else, there'll be like a backdoor cover, I think. All right. Miami at New England. The Patriots need to win this game to preserve a bye because if they lose and Kansas City wins, they would drop to the 3 seed.
Miami's so fun.
Yeah. Miami is like, I thought this line also, this line is like 15.5 or 16. That's way, you know, you said 10.5, so you were on the road. I said 14, so I was a little bit closer. But to me, like, this line, I'm definitely taking the Dolphins. How are the Patriots going to score that many points?
No, it's ridiculous. And the Dolphins' offense looked better than the Patriots the last few weeks.
Yeah, the only way the Patriots score this many points like they did against the Bengals is if they get pick sixes and stuff, which obviously Fitzpatrick could do.
I mean, I guess their defense, but, like playing its, you know, its normal A game should shut, like the Dolphins shouldn't really be able to move the ball that much. But by the way, you said Devontae Parker was shot before the year, and he really has looked great.
Yeah, sorry. Fool me once, twice, three times, four times, five times, what, six
but
times?
But here's the thing. Everyone who Adam Gase left has gotten better. That's why it's so scary as a Jets fan.
Well, that's why it's so promising as a Jets fan, because eventually he'll get fired.
No, that's the problem. If he was going to get fired this week, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Chargers at, well, if they beat the Bills, he's definitely not getting fired. So, yeah, Chargers at the Chiefs. Another game, again, the Chiefs could play trying to get a bye. And Philip Rivers, possibly last game of his career. What do you think?
If I had to guess right now, I'd say yes.
Okay,
I think so he looks shot. He doesn't have it anymore. He's like Eli.
This is the symbolic sidearm passing of the torch from Rivers to Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean they might have like done better the last 6 weeks with Tyrod Taylor, to be honest.
I mean, I don't know what they again. They went into Jacksonville and absolutely murdered them. The next week they play the Vikings close for a half and then just became a comedy of errors in the second half. And then they go home to Oakland. Now, they don't really have a home, and there's definitely more Raiders fans for sure in L.A. than there are Chargers.
He just doesn't – Rivers doesn't have it anymore. Like, there's not really much to, you know, analyze other than that.
All right. So you're definitely – you're giving these points then?
What's the line?
It's 7, and I guess 7.5. Simmons at 13.5. That's way too much. I think I'm taking the points because – not only because I think that the Chargers can keep it relatively close, but also if the Patriots are winning – and Houston is because if Houston wins and the Chiefs lose, then the Chiefs still need to win to maintain the 3 seed, right? They don't want to drop to the 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the Chiefs have to play no matter what. But I'm going to take the points anyways.
Yeah, I'll take the points too.
Yep. All right. Okay. So let's get to the late games that matter. Washington at Dallas. You know, Dallas completely lays an egg in Philadelphia. I thought Philly would win, but I did not think that Dallas wouldn't score a touchdown against Philly's awful secondary. I'm not sure. Like, do we blame Dak? Do we blame? You know, people were saying, like, why wasn't Cooper in the game down the stretch if he wasn't injured? And, like, what the hell was the clapper thinking? On the other hand, like, he got, like, what, a dozen targets or something ridiculous. So they were throwing the ball to Cooper. Or they were trying to.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles, they were covering him. It seemed like they kept throwing it to Gallup. And then the fourth quarter is all Cobb. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, look, obviously, any loss for the Cowboys is obviously schadenfreude for the rest of us. I would love to see Washington go into Dallas and win. I can't see it happening. Dallas has been blowing out their divisional opponents at home all year long. That's the one thing they've been good at.
Well, I mean, after the Eagles-Cowboys game, I was thinking, like, oh, who has the Giants? Because the Giants are a zillion times friskier than the Redskins.
I don't know how I can say that when those teams were literally equally frisky for 60 minutes yesterday.
I'd could be not have so been, much scared.
They could not have so been closer in their friskness.
Well, first of all, Haskins, who played really well, is not going to play.
I mean, Keenum played pretty good also. By the way, Daniel Jones, we were just arguing about this in one of my group chats just before we started recording. He starts his career against the Bucs with just an incredible, incredible game. One of the best games we've ever seen a rookie have. And then last week, he had one of the best games we've ever seen a rookie have with, what, 380-something yards and 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. In between, he's been quite poor.
Mm-hmm. And injured.
So what is he... And he missed the game, 2 games. So what does he do at home against the Eagles, trying to spoil it for the Eagles? What does he do? Is there any chance the Giants win this game?
Yeah, I think there is a chance. The Eagles suck.
The Eagles do suck.
What's the line?
The line right now that I saw was 5.
Yeah, that's what, you know, Vegas showing you that the Giants have a chance to win the game. I'm not gonna take the points. I would stay away from this on both sides, and I'll pick the Eagles to win. But man, it would be so sweet if the Eagles win this game, and then the Cowboys, like, this game ends first, and then you see just like so many awful shots of Jerry losing 13-10 in like the rain in Washington. Or I don't know where that game is.
That game's in Dallas.
In Dallas,
so
even better. Yeah. Even better for his like suite or whatever.
Yeah, I think that I don't see. I mean, I can see Philly losing. I think somebody said that the Cowboys' chance to make the playoffs is like 3-1. I would put it higher than that. Because the Cowboys are not going to lose to Washington. It's not going to happen.
I think it might happen.
I think that's an 80%.
Both these teams suck. All 4 of these teams are awful.
Yeah, Dallas is not awful, though. I mean, look, again, Dallas' point differential is much better than the Packers and the Seahawks.
There are so many weeks where they just do not show up at all.
If Dallas is the 4 seed and they're hosting the Seahawks, they're going to win that game.
Are they going to be favored?
Well, I guess it depends what we see from Seattle on the final Sunday night game, right? Because their number 1, number 2, and number 3 running backs are all out for the year now. And it's
Seattle
kind of
looks lifeless against
the
Niners. Cowboys are a 1-point favorite in that game, I think.
It's more than 1.
Oh, you think it's 3?
It's more. If Seattle gets blown out by San Francisco, it's more. If the Cowboys win over Washington, you know, 41-10, and they make the playoffs because they
lose the
Giants.
Well, let's say it's 14-10.
Whatever it is, the Cowboys likely will be favored by more than 3 if Seattle looks bad.
Unbelievable.
Because Seattle, that's the system we have. You win the division no matter how bad you are. You get.
No, but
you
know, I'm just saying, like, well, then may I, but you know, first of all, line can't be much higher either way because the Seahawks don't play games that are much more than 3.
Yeah. All right. Oakland at Denver. Technically means something, but it's not going to mean anything because Denver's going to win this game. Yeah, you had Oakland favored, which makes no sense to me. Denver's the better team. They've been better all year.
Yeah, Oakland does suck.
Yeah.
Where's this game? In Denver?
This game's in Denver.
Yeah. I'll have Denver winning this game. Who cares?
Yeah. By the way,
I could
I would
not.
Love to
I'm
see,
so. I like. I'll watch any bad game of college, the pros, anything that's close. Every time that Denver-Detroit game came on, my eyes, like,
avert your eyes.
My eyes literally would not look at the TV. Like, I was looking
at
some obscene
you went
thing
to sleep and missed Sunday Night Football, but Sunday Night Football was like that also. That was unwatchable.
I
mentioned a couple weeks ago the Vikings had a game like that against the Lions, which was like an unwatchably boring, like, blowout,
yes,
like low scoring blowout.
Yeah, the worst game
that's
of the
what
year.
The whole
the
that's what the whole country had to see between the Chiefs and the Bears.
It sucks night. Because going into my fantasy championship, the guy was playing, made so many errors, had Robinson and Miller as his receivers.
Anthony Miller.
So, like,
how did he make a championship?
Well, those weren't his receivers the whole year. He lost guys to injury.
Okay.
But he
all right.
He started, but anyway, I lost to him and my team never scored. I had like I don't think I ever scored under 115 the entire season. I never had a bad week. And in the same with the
you
same
choked.
The same rules as I didn't even choke. My team put up a big number. He had Lamar and Fitz go insane. And Miles Sanders, he didn't start Gurley, which I thought was nuts. And he had Miles Sanders.
How's this guy in the championship starting Fitzpatrick and Anthony Miller?
Because he had Lamar and somebody else good who also just got hurt.
Okay.
But first of all, Lamar. Second of all, he was, you know, he had a lot of lucky wins. He was the 3 seed, but he had a lot of lucky wins. Lamar, Fitz, Sanders, and Devonta Freeman. But literally the guy won with 8 points from his 2 crappy Chicago wide receivers. O.J. Howard. There's a defense in that league. He started the Tampa defense against Houston. Which
all right, people don't care about other people's fantasy enough to hear this.
Everyone cares.
so what I'm rooting for, by the way, I'm
but I had Hopkins and Watson stack, and that did nothing. So I knew I was done on Saturday.
Yeah, Hopkins, not so great this year, as I told you. All right.
What do you mean? He was great. You're a moron. He's like the third scoring receiver in the NFL.
He had a lot of catches, so if you do PPR, he was
If
okay.
you do, I do half but, PPR. It's the same rules as your dumb leagues. Hopkins had a great year. He had three bad weeks early.
When I traded him, he was outside the top 10. I think we had this argument. He was exactly like 11.
Yeah, and then it was his first week that wasn't incredible in the last 11 weeks.
No, he was bad two of the last 3 weeks because the person I traded him to complained about his no-shows in the playoffs. He had one good playoff game and two bad playoff games.
You're a clown. Saying Hopkins was not a top five fantasy receiver this year?
On the year?
On the year.
Hold on. Let me go check right now. This is riveting podcast.
I mean, obviously, you know, Thomas is one. There's a chance he's two, Chester.
Godwin, Mike Evans. Well, the problem is a lot of these guys are like points per game because some of these guys have been shut down now.
Yeah, it's not points per game. It's how many points. It doesn't help you in the playoffs if your guy is on the freaking IR.
All right, yeah. So, because points per game, Godwin's two, Evans is three, mm-hmm. Julio's four. Okay, but season total, let's see. So, he's not top five in per game. But season total, oh, yeah, he's all the way up to three.
Yeah.
And that's a function of showing up because he's played every week. Yeah. So,
and my other guy's Thomas, so couldn't have done much better than Andre.
Yeah, but when I had him, he put up a 6, a 9, a 3, 12, 12.
Yeah, he did nothing at the beginning of the year.
I traded him.
And I'll miss this fantasy team so much. I wish I could keep it to next year.
Yeah, the team that lost got it. I'm rooting for Indy to win. I'm rooting for Tennessee to lose. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for Pittsburgh to lose. I'm rooting for to all line up perfectly for Oakland, and then for Oakland to lose also.
It would be great if Gruden makes the playoffs.
None of these teams deserve to make it. I guess Tennessee
So Gruden's going to miss the playoffs. They're going to go to Vegas. Yeah. Obviously, he's going to be the coach next year. What happens if they suck again next year? He's got a 10-year contract. Like, when you know, because normally if you don't make the playoffs after 3 years,
No,
you're
Mark
gone.
Davis is not far. No, no chance.
I know.
He would maybe after 3 years in Oakland.
In Vegas.
In Vegas. The reason Davis gave him that contract is so that he can be the face of the franchise in Oakland.
I understand. In Vegas. What if they go 1-15 next year?
Well, then he's in trouble in 2021 unless they
So I think he's like the first coach ever who has got 4 years automatically. Because everyone now gets 3 years of
Well, he's the first coach ever who got a 10-year, $100 million contract. So, that makes
sense. It's so insane to give him 10 years, $100 million.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, he hadn't coached in a decade before that. All right. So what are the other games that we have, like games we discussed? Philly, the Giants. So now let's discuss the two games that have the most relevance for the wild card. So Pittsburgh, they need to win, and they need Tennessee to lose. Pittsburgh goes into Baltimore. And you thought Pittsburgh would be favored by 4.5. I thought this was a pick because even without Lamar Jackson, and he took a couple of hits last week, that Baltimore, you don't need to rest the guy for 3 weeks, but also you have to be careful with Lamar Jackson, right?
He almost died. He really came like 6 inches from dying.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. Baltimore's going to win this game anyways. Pittsburgh sucks.
Yeah, the truth is when I was doing that line, I was thinking much more
with
about
RG3. Baltimore is still a way better team.
Yeah, you're probably right.
RG3. Yeah. So I'm picking Baltimore.
I will say the Pittsburgh defense is
definitely giving the points.
Having just played both of them, the Pittsburgh defense is a lot better than the Baltimore defense. Pittsburgh defense is frightening. The Baltimore defense, Darnold moved up and down the field against the defense. He did not do that after the first drive against Pittsburgh.
You know what's frightening? I just looked up and saw a picture of your face and a Queen Victoria's body on my wall.
Oh, that is frightening.
All right, and let's get to the Tennessee-Houston game. So we thought this game is going to be flex. This game is going to be for the division. It's going to be a play-in. And then Houston had to go and ruin everything by winning on Saturday in Tampa.
Yeah, this would have got flexed. They were stuck, and they had to make Seattle, San Francisco. But that would have been fun if this was for something.
Yeah. Instead, Houston, now they still do have something to play for.
Yeah.
So I'm not – this is a line also that confuses me a little bit.
Bill O'Brien said that they're going – right. Well, they have – Kansas City's in that weird spot where they could go to the 2, but they could fall to the 4, right?
Yeah. So Houston's playing for either the 3 or the 4, which is not a huge difference.
And, not a big difference.
I thought Tennessee would be favored. I guess they'd be favored by 2.5, but they're favored by 4. It's Houston. So what did Bill O'Brien say?
He just said that they're going to play.
Yeah.
And he's in charge.
I think there's a difference between the 3 and the 4, especially because like you don't think about it this way, but it could definitely have an impact on hosting the conference championship if you get that far.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying to my dad today, the best team in the NFC, in my opinion, is the 49ers. And if every single favorite wins... The 49ers are going to be the 6th seed. Excuse me. The 49ers are favored in Seattle. But if every single favorite wins and Seattle wins, which is the home team, which is the team that should be favored in that game ordinarily, then San Francisco is going to be the 6th seed. It's very likely that San Francisco could be the 6th seed is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Vikings fan, likely to be in the 5 seed, I think there's a huge difference between the 5 and the 6. Because if I think San Francisco is the best team in the conference, then that means that they're like a very likely opponent for the Vikings at some point. And if they play, it would be in the NFC Championship game. And if the Vikings are the five, then they'd host that game. So, like, there's a difference between 3 and 4. There's a difference between 5 and 6. Like, these seedings matter, even if you're not getting a bye.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I think Houston should be trying to win this game. And I think they are going to try to win this game, but I think Tennessee is going to win.
I agree with everything you just said.
All right. Now, would I give the 4 points? No, I think I would take the points because I think it's a pretty close toss-up type game.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, so the only disagreement we have, and what our regular season picking winners and losers entire season, we're tied 6-6 with four ties. So what it's all coming down to is that I have the Cincinnati Bengals and you have the Cleveland Browns.
Wow, the whole season down to that.
Oh, no, excuse me. I forgot about Week 17. I forgot about the Sunday night game. San Francisco at Seattle, game 256.
Oh, sorry. What's the line?
Yeah. So San Francisco's favored by 3 in Seattle. San Francisco's been better all year. As again,
yeah, I'm picking the Niners. I'm a little worried about how useless Wilson looked last week, forgetting about the running backs.
But it's one game. He was looking like an MVP candidate for most of the season.
I know, but he screwed me over. I had Wilson at Wentz last week. They did nothing.
Oh,
I lost money.
Oh, so you're mad about
him. Yeah, I'm furious with him.
Yeah, I mean, again, San Francisco is much better, but Seattle went into San Francisco and won already. Seattle's been pulling games out of their butts all season long, and this is such a critical game because Seattle, you know, they're playing for a bye versus to be the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dramatic difference there. I don't know. Seattle they just lost at home to Arizona. Like, you know, we both were quite confident. We both put money in it that the Cardinals were going to cover 9.5.
Yeah.
But we didn't think the Cardinals were going to go in there and win that game.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. All right, fine. You're going to pick San Francisco just so we have something to root for. I'll take Seattle.
Okay.
But I don't feel strongly about it. And I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. So neither one of us has assigned any billion-dollar bets. Are we not making billion-dollar bets this week?
I am. But they're all in college football.
Oh, all right. So let's hear your college football.
Okay, so
bets.
LSU, 13.5-point favorites on Oklahoma. Do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I was leaning towards LSU before the suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the suspensions have a huge impact. I mean, the running back is important, right? And the defensive guy, I forget his name. He starts, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think
the receiver's like one catch.
13.5 to me is too much. I'm going to take Oklahoma here.
I don't think Oklahoma should be in the Final Four anymore.
No, they shouldn't. So. They're not the fourth best team, but that doesn't mean LSU is going to blow them out. So I'll put $100 million Oklahoma, and then Clemson, Ohio State. I'm going to put $100 million on Clemson -2. I think that line should be like 4.5. I don't think Ohio State has a 49% chance, which is basically what a two point line is saying. That's just you're going to win or win by lose by one or win. But I also want.
I mean, look, yeah.
I want to put.
Well, I was all year long. I thought Ohio State was the best team in college. Now they looked bad for a half against Wisconsin. So does that mean we just changed our minds about them? It's surprising to me that they dropped all the way to the 3.
Everyone has said this, but the Clemson Ohio State winner will definitely win the national championship.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I think that they're both better than LSU.
Yeah, I understand why LSU has to be the one. Like an undefeated winner of the SEC makes sense, but the 1, 2, and 3 are just light years better in terms of accomplishments than 4. And you know, Alabama, Georgia are both better than Oklahoma. Give me $100 million on Iowa -2 against USC.
Oh, we're doing other bowls now?
Yeah, okay. I'm putting a lot of money on bowls. Can we put real money on bowls? I want to throw some real. Mean,
you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, but you're in Jersey. I want to start like a real gambling consortium here.
Okay.
Could have all of our listeners involved. Consortium. Wake Forest +4 against Zach Brooks's Michigan State Spartans.
What do you have such strong opinions about Wake Forest for?
I watched every freaking football game this season.
Okay.
I had three screens all year on college football.
Name five players on Wake Forest.
I can't name one, but I watched them play.
Okay.
I watched every game. Louisiana Tech +6 versus Miami.
That's just because Miami has nothing to play for.
Miami has nothing to play for. It's a crappy game. One of my theories also is like, if you go to like the Aloha Bowl, you go to Vegas, like your trip is about having fun and getting the sweet pack, you know, like the shoes or whatever.
They get thousands of dollars worth of packaging. Oh, but these guys are can't get paid.
If you go to the Idaho Bowl, or this is in Shreveport, Louisiana, or wherever.
Yeah, not ideal, Idaho.
Then you're going to play the game. Do you know what I mean? You're like indoor shivering, and so you're going to play the game. But Miami's not getting up for this game. Louisiana Tech's getting up. So I want $200 million on Louisiana Tech. I watched Miami all year. They are terrible.
$200 million. Wow.
Miami, like, best players are, who I can name, by the way, unlike Wake Forest, are like, crappy transfers from other schools that did nothing. They have no quarterback. Miami sucks. So that's $200 million on them.
One, two, three, four. That's $600 million you're putting on the line.
Yeah.
We have more?
Yeah, I got more.
Oh, more. Let's hear them.
Well, do you have any? Do you want to put any money? Alabama's a touchdown favorite over Michigan on New Year's Day.
That's it. I mean, Alabama's definitely going to cover. Michigan is not going to show up. First of all, Michigan never shows up in bowls when they have disappointing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, Alabama's backups are obviously much better than Michigan.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm not putting money on a bowl because I don't follow it closely enough, but I think Alabama's going to blow the doors off of Michigan.
What about your Minnesota Golden Gophers at the same time against another Alabama team, the Auburn Tigers, my famous
nemesis. Yeah, so it's interesting how the Gopher season goes, because if we had been told before the season, listen, your team is going to be, you know, a top 15 team, they're going to play a bowl game against Auburn, they're going to go 10-2, everybody would have signed up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But because the way it ended against Wisconsin, plus, you know, the miserable loss at Iowa, which is what, you know, prevented them. That's like the real inexcusable one, more than Wisconsin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way it ended, like, people are sort of disappointed. I think PJ Fleck has them ready to go. And I think that they are going to show up and they are going to try. Now, I think Auburn's better than them.
Now, if you get 7.5, that's a big half point.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do here because Auburn's clearly the better team, but I do think Minnesota's going to try.
Interesting.
Why? Do you have a take on this?
Well, give me $100 million Tennessee against Indiana. 1.5 points. Okay. I'm going nuts with the Bulls. I want $100 million on Wisconsin plus three against Wisconsin.
You're picking Oregon.
I'm picking Oregon against Wisconsin. And that's it. I'm going to stay away from the Big Ten versus Alabama-based teams.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me that you see Wisconsin blow out Minnesota, outplay Ohio State for a half, and you're not impressed.
I'm impressed. I just think Oregon is really good.
I mean, if Wisconsin had beaten Iowa in that game, I think they should have been there over Oklahoma. Now, they wouldn't have been with two losses, but anyway. All right, so are those all your bowl bets?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay. A lot of bowl money on the line for Kiwi there. All right, so what else? So it's the end of the year. We got to start doing some of our top tens of the year, right?
Yeah, but I think this episode's gone on so long. I don't think we need to, like, burn the content here. So let's regroup and think about it, and then we'll figure out where we're going.
Listen, it's already December 23rd. Let's give him a taste, all right?
No taste.
Yes, taste. Let's do our...
No, because those have to pee.
Okay, let's just do our top 10 podcasts of the year, because that's not...
No, that might be a podcast. It might be its own podcast.
No, that's not a podcast. You told me that we were doing top 10s, and I made the effort to go through these lists, so let's do a top 10.
So how about this? So we'll have one in the can. We could say to the patrons, hey, you owe us.
This is not too long. We're at 45 minutes. Let's go. 5 minutes. Let's go.
We're wasting content. It's insane.
Wasting content. So Top 10 Podcast is not an episode by itself, though. I also love the fact that we're a podcast that tells people to go to listen to other podcasts.
Well, what are we supposed to not tell people? Like, this is the only podcast to listen to? That would be awesome.
Yeah, isn't that your Twitter profile? Doesn't it say that? The only podcast on the internet?
Yeah. Let's do that elsewhere or next. This is insane.
Okay, fine. You suck. All right, Keith. Talk to you later. Bye. Have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough. Now,
have a merry little Christmas now.
Have yourself
a merry little Christmas.
Yeah, a merry little Christmas. Yeah, yeah,
have a merry little Christmas.
now. Yeah, yeah.